Morning's message, ignorance is no excuse, coming from Ezekiel, the 25th chapter, 1st through the 7th verse. And the reading on that goes as that. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thine face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them, and say unto the Ammonites, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, Because thou sayest, Aha, against my sanctuary, when it was profaned, and against the land of Israel, when it was desolate, and against the house of Judah, when they went into captivity. Behold, therefore I will deliver thee to the men of the east for a possession, and they shall set their palaces in thee, and make their dwellings in thee. They shall eat thine fruit, and they shall drink thine milk. And I will make Rabbah a stable for camels, and the Ammonites a couching place for flocks. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast clapped thine hands, and stamped with the feet, and rejoiced in heart, with all thine despite against the land of Israel. Behold, therefore I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and will deliver thee for a spoil to the heathen. And I will cut thee out from the people, and I will cause thee to perish out of the countries. I will destroy thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Here we have a prophecy of Ezekiel against the people of Ammon, the Ammonites, for the way they have consistently did Israel over the period of time. And during Israel's time of judgment, the people of Ammon rejoiced at it, and they were happy. And they had ill-treated Israel so much, and we'll see prophecies against Ammon throughout the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, the book of Amos, and the book of Jeremiah, where he spoke against them. And Ammon is a long-time rival of Israel. We know that Ammon came about through an incestuous relationship between Lot's daughters and Lot. And Ezekiel, being a prophet of the captivity, we studied Ezekiel a while back, where the sins of the father wouldn't pass to the children, and the children to the father, but the animosity, those family traits were passing down. They passed down. That's why I say he visited the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the fourth and the tenth generation, and so forth. That Ammon despised Israel, and it was behind land. And I don't know what the friction was with Israel against Ammon. It may have been because of that incestuous relationship and who they were and what they came from. What did they stand for? We know that Ammon was a cruel, oppressive people. We know that David showed some extreme brutality to Ammon during his time in sin or whatever. But what we have to look at is that all people in the world are God's people. No matter how the animosity and the derisiveness has come about, we, as now being enlightened through Christ, through His Spirit, we should reconcile all men to God. We should act as a priesthood, the mediators between man and God. Judah and Israel has been judged. Ammon laughed at it and everything. So unlike Amos and Jeremiah's prophecy, this prophecy was spoken to the children of Judah and Israel that were in captivity. So it wasn't spoken directly to Ammon. He wasn't prophesying to them. He was prophesying of their destruction because of how they had treated the children of God. And this may have gave them some consolences, and to see that God would judge the world, those people that would do them wrong. So they were in captivity in Babylon. We don't see within these chapters any of this prophecy directed directly at Babylon. But knowing that if they would study the word of God, they would see that those that blessed Abraham, God would bless them, but those that cursed Abraham would see God would in turn curse them. That we have a defender in Jesus Christ. And that if they would have studied and looked over the scriptures, if they would have took heed to the teachings and became that light, God is consistently applying that to the church today. We're to be lights to the world. We're to reconcile the people to God. We have a ministry that we should be involved in. The hostilities of the past and those of nepotism, those that's directly related to people within our families, our brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, aunts, far-off relatives, people that our own people, we should see all men as the brotherhood of God because God had created all men. We can't plead ignorance of these facts. We can't plead ignorance as we did read in the opening scripture when God asked Cain, he said, and the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I think the answer to that, a rhetorical answer, would be, yeah, you, your brother's keeper. I always ask you about your family. I ask you about different things. Even though sometimes we may not be able to do something about a situation, we should be consistently aware of that situation. We should be consistently trying to think of ways to bring light on that situation, to make reconciliation between all people, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, the hearts of the sons to the fathers, and that we would love all men. Israel, they shouldn't have been as Ammon. The first point here would be being cynical. Ammon was cynical. They were cynical toward Israel, just as we today as a people are very cynical. As a nation, as a city, in our homes, just worldwide, the people have become cynical. They show their cynicism in all that they do. And that this being directed toward immigration now, we see as this bitter rivalry in that we have one that's rising in the ranks now, that he's rising in the ranks, and that he's building this up off the hostilities of the people toward the Hispanics, toward the immigrants or whatever. We should be kind to the strangers. We should be kind to all men. We shouldn't cause a division between races or creeds of people. One of the political candidates that's running for president is causing a dissension, a disunity, talking about the Hispanics. But we have to see the Hispanics also as the brotherhood of Christ. We have to see them also as brothers. America's supposed to be a melting pot, so there are legal ramifications or legal ways to pursue all these things, but we shouldn't be cynical against these people because we were a stranger. We were brought here to America. So just as we wouldn't want people cynical toward us, we shouldn't be cynical toward them. We shouldn't allow people to cause us to hate a man because of the color of his skin, his creed or religion, or whatever he be. We shouldn't be that way because all men are the sons of God. We shouldn't act, let anyone, the Bible says, mock those that cause divisions among us. But what has happened, we're more or less a fleshly people. We're carnal, and that time has passed in which we dealt in that way. And we see where I come out of a Baptist church, and I know some of the African Methodist churches, that the American Methodist churches, they go with a lot of rhythm and a lot of emotions. They used to the preacher preaching with a whole lot of, give them a whole lot of emotions, a lot of feeling, and that's what a lot of charismatic churches are doing today within the Word of Faith, getting the people pumped up emotionally, but not preaching and teaching to the people to where that they take the Word of God, and that Word of God unites with their human spirit to empower them to carry out the purposes of God. But we deal with emotion. In other words, something that makes us feel good to get our praise on. And we feel good during that preaching or that teaching time, but it's nothing of no substance. It's like eating candy. It's like eating, I don't want to stereotype some types of food or whatever, but some foods you could eat and then you'd be hungry 20 minutes later. My parents used to always say, well, look, son, you eat some rice and some gravy or something like this, something that's going to fill you up. In other words, something that has fiber to give you that full feeling. Something that's going to go through you, that you assimilate into your body, something that's going to make you a better person. The Word of God should make you a better person. There are a lot of people been in churches for years and years. There are a lot of people within this nation promote Christianity in the Bible and going to churches, but they're no better off. They're still in that same frame of mind. They still hate their brother. They still can sit in the church and hadn't been changed internally. They follow the Word of God, but they still hate. They still are divisive. And these things, the Word of God should turn, take these things out of you. So when Ezekiel was preaching to the people in captivity, to his people that were in captivity, to the Israelites that were in captivity, this was to show them that God was going to judge those that do you wrong. You're not the judge of those people, though. You're to treat those people as brothers. You're to treat and love even your enemies. So we shouldn't get to the point where we take vengeance or that we treat people indifferent. We shouldn't do that. We should love our neighbors. We should love all mankind. We can't love God and hate man. It's impossible to do, the Word of God says. This thing about Ammon. God was going to take care of Ammon, and he was allowing them to see it. And this was written for our admonition. In other words, the ones at the end of the world, what we should see, that God's going to take care of those that's mistreating us. Those that's in the church that to say that they are Christians or say that they are our brothers in Christ, but yet and still they backbite you. And at every turn that they can get, they're doing something against you. They're making light of you. They mock you behind your back. They mock you to your face. They despise you and they treat you in awful ways. God judges that. And that's what he's showing here. God's going to take care of those that ill-treat you and mistreat you. But for God to do that, what we have to realize is that God destroyed his own people. And I've been preaching the last few chapters of the first chapters of Ezekiel here, all the way up until this chapter, of what God's doing to people in the church. We have to make sure we're doing right, though. You know, if a lot of children out there doing something wrong or illegal, and my children are out there with them, the first thing I should do is grab my children and whip them to make sure they do right. It says, if the righteous shall scarcely make it, if God chastens the one in the church, if I can't get y'all to loving them, how can I punish them for not loving you? So I have to punish both of y'all. So I must preach and teach you that you should bless those that persecute you. Bless those that do all kind of manner of evil against you and hate not. Don't render evil for evil. And if a man's your enemy, you pray for him. And you develop this Christ-like characteristic. You let me take care of the results, in other words, what God said. But you conduct yourself in a godly-like manner. This fight was about inheritance, a lot of it, with Ammon and Israel. Ammon felt that they had been cheated and that they had lost their land to Israel and that it was... was a deep-lying feud going on. And I don't know what feud you have with the people in the world that's around you or whatever. But God's reigning on the just and the unjust. Whether they knew it or not, God had taken care of Ammon. He was taking care of Ammon and looking out for Ammon's well-being, even when they didn't realize it. See, God's looking out for us whether we realize it or not. God's being good to us. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the second chapter, the 19th to the 23rd verse, this is what God says to Israel. When they were coming out of Egypt, this is what God says to Israel. They're going to inherit the promised land. He says, and enter not the land of the Amorites, the descendants of Lot, but do not bother them or start a war with them. I have given the land of Ammon to them as property, and I will not give you any of their land. So God had already told his people, don't fool with these people here. I'm not going to give you their land. Don't bother with them, and don't start any trouble with them. You see, that's the problem in the day. We start to bother people. God tells us not to bother people, not to do this thing. He says that area was considered the land of the Rephaimites who had lived there, though the Ammonites called them Zezimites. They were also as strong and numerous and tall as the Amalekites. But the Lord destroyed them so the Ammonites could occupy their land. He had done the same for the descendants of Esau who lived in Seir, for he destroyed the Horites so that they could sell there in their place. The descendants of Esau live there to this day. A similar thing happened with the Kepharites from Crete, invaded and destroyed the Avites who lived there. These three tribes that he's naming here, we will preach on later on out of this chapter, and that's Edom and the Philistines. We see that God gave them the land that they had. He took it from someone else. So they complaining about this, but God had given them that land. We always want to take something for ourselves and not knowing if we have anything, it's because God gave that to us. The people of that land were stronger than the children of Ammon. They were giants in the land. But God defeated them and gave Ammon that land. So they should have been secure in the fact and strive to know that God. They should have learned of that God because their forefathers had served that God. Lot was a righteous man. The book of Peter says, righteous Lot. So Lot knew of God. He just didn't study God and pass it on down and tell his children about his errors and his mistakes. That's the problem with a lot of us older people. Instead of getting our children and grandchildren corrected, we allow them to go on in their erroneous state and not instill with them the knowledge and tell them the only way you can inherit from God is that you keep his commandments, statutes, and laws and walk therein. But we allow them to deviate from the path, and still we booster them up. Still we stand behind them. If a child is wrong, if a relative or anyone is wrong, don't stand with that person that's wrong. We have to stay away from those divisive people. So they were to go through Ammon's land, but they were not to take advantage of it. They wanted things easily, and they took them illegally. If I were children out there not working but selling drugs, if they're doing something illicit or whatever, they're looking for an easy life. God hadn't given us that type life. God had designed it that if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That God had gave us a labor to do. We should work, and then God supplies our wants and needs. But we should work as unto man as we work unto the Lord. So we should be involved in legitimate labors. We shouldn't be involved in anything. But see, a lot of us have developed that Ammonite mentality that we want to oppress others. We want to take advantage of others, and we want it easy. And how do you take this man's home? How do you take this land, take something from a widow or someone that's fatherless or whatever, and not know that God's going to stand up for that person? In the book of Jeremiah, it tells about chapter 49, verse 1 through 6. It tells about such that Ammon had did. You know, that's why you have to stay where God puts you. And you shouldn't occupy some place God had not sent you. So you should be asking God's direction as to where you should go to church at, where you should live at, where you should work at. Everything should be done in prayer and supplication to God. The Ammonites here, they had went in and occupied a land while Israel was not there. They were moving in on Israel's land. And this is what God says, the judgment upon Ammon. And this is, like I say, Jeremiah is preaching this. He says, concerning the Ammonites, thus says the Lord, does Israel thus have no sons, or has he no heir? Why then does that king inherit Gad, and the people dwell in his cities? Therefore, surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it will be a desolate heap, and her towns will be burned with fire. Then Israel will be heir, and to those who were his heir, says the Lord. Howl, O Hezbollah, for I have been devastated. Cry out, O daughters of Rabbah, gird yourself with sackcloth and lament, and run to and fro inside the walls. For their king shall go into captivity, and his priests and his officials together. Why do you glory in the valleys, in your flowing valleys, O backsliding daughter, who trust in her treasures, saying, who shall come against me? I will bring a fear upon you, says the Lord God of hosts, from all those who are around you, and each of you will be driven out headlong, and no one will gather together the fugitives. Yet afterward I will restore the fortunes of the sons of Ammon, says the Lord. Now here he says he's going to restore Ammon back to their lands where they belong. But right now they're in Israel's land. They're somewhere that they don't belong. And see, that's why we have to get back to the Bible. And as I was telling you this thing about immigration, if we would look at the Hispanics in this thing about immigration, when did we acquire the land that we call Louisiana and Texas and all this area that where they're saying that the Mexicans are now immigrating and coming into? We supposedly bought that from Spain or France during the Louisiana Purchase. All this was once Mexico inhabited by those people. But we came in and took the land. At least France and Spain had came in and taken that land. What happened with the United States? Didn't we come in and move the Native Americans out? Didn't the immigrants come in on the Mayflower, and that's when they come in after Columbus, and they said they discovered America, and they dispossessed the Native Americans, the Indians. So we don't know how God's doing all this, but we want God to establish us where we belong. We have to start correcting wrongs that have been done by our forefathers. We have to start correcting the things according to the Word of God, establishing these things by faith. So if now we're having a problem with the Hispanics coming in, if we're having a problem, we should pray to God, and we should work on this as a people, but we should do it by legal means and not by hateful means, not by means of man, not by the devices of men, or else we'll fall under the judgment of God, just as these people did, because God desires that all men be saved. So Ammon, there will be people representing a people of Ammon in the future restoration. God says it in the verse 6 there, the 49th chapter of Jeremiah says, afterward I will restore the fortunes of the sons of Ammon, says the Lord. we'll see that God doesn't get rid of any people groups. God desires that all men be saved. See, and those that he saved out of those people groups will be people that we've been and shed the light on, who see and know that God is God. By vanquishing that many people, they would realize that God is God, and those that see that would start walking in that light. Though they be Ammonites, they'll worship the true Lord God. They'll follow him whom their forefathers didn't follow, whom they should have followed. Deuteronomy 3:11-20 says about the Ammonites, when Jephthah was explaining how that they had gotten that land, and that 11th verse of Deuteronomy, the 3rd chapter, says, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. And the land which we possessed at that time from Aurora, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, I gave unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites." So, however these things came about, the inheritance of America, the portion of Mexico, or the portion of the nation that we got in the Louisiana Purchase, God still has a remnant to come in. If we legally got that, if we got it through means in which worshiping God, in which the founding father was supposed to be religious people, God honors that dispossession of the Native Americans, but still there will be Native Americans that inherit in the new America, in the United States. But the United States has to fall. It becomes the kingdom of God. All nations fall. Just like I told you, there would be Ammonites. The people of Ammon would be part of the kingdom of God. The Native Americans would be part of the kingdom of God. Those Hispanics would be part of the kingdom of God. The people of America would be part of the kingdom of God. But they won't be under those national titles. They'll all be children of Abraham, children of the Father. It would all be one nation serving one God, even though they would have been different in the beginning. I know this is getting difficult to follow. It's getting pretty hard to follow. In other words, these earthly traits of the first man, Adam, of the satanic origination, God allows that so that some may be converted. Some may be converted. All of us will not make it. He may take one from a family, two from a family. God's choosing out a people group that will follow him, that will do his word and do his will. I taught you Sarah Wednesday night at Bible study when they say your mother and sister, brothers out here waiting on you. And he said, "Who is my mother, my brother and sister?" Those that do the will of God. So what we're looking at here was a promise of a future restoration of all people. We'll be known as we are known, but now we're the sons of God. Though we were a eunuch, we're still a son of God. Though we were of Israel, we're still a son of God. Though we were an Ammonite, an Egyptian, whatever nationality we were, he's going to save all people. But now these are the sons of God. They have different characteristics of family traits. They don't have that cruel or oppressive trait. These people have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. These people then came to a knowledge of God. So he's going to save all nations. We should be able to know, understand what God's doing and how to deal with people. Like during this time, I told you how we go against the Hispanics because of what this political candidate has said against them. And he didn't do it from a diplomatic point of view. The same thing is coming about this nuclear deal with Iran. They've been trying for years to negotiate or try to get a deal with Iran so we wouldn't have nuclear weapons. The Obama administrations have made this deal, negotiated this deal, where we wouldn't go to war with Iran, where their citizens and things was rejoicing because it gives them relief. So we have to do good and expect goods to come about it, even though we can't guarantee the results. That's in the hand of God, because God says, seek peace with all men. Seek it through a diplomatic means. Jephthah was a harlot's son, and his family had ran him off or whatever, but the Ammonites was about to destroy them, so they went and got Jephthah. When Jephthah was going to go to battle against the Ammonites, his first approach was he was trying to explain it through a diplomatic means, a historical means, whereas we're not taking your land. We don't really going to go to war with you. This is our land, and you shouldn't be fighting us over our possession. And if you read in the book of Judges, the 11th chapter, the 12th through the 30th verse, he knew the history. He knew the word of God, what had transpired in that Ammon was in the wrong. The word of God is what's going to prevail. That's what's going on. And that's what we need to know. Not emotions, not feelings, but what does God's word says? That's what's going to be final. That's what's going to come about, God's word. And they didn't want to listen at God's word. So Jephthah went on the war with them, and God defeated them in battle. Just as when David defeated Ammon and he put him to death, he became, as Ammon was, David did some mighty cruel thing so that he couldn't build the house of God. That's why we have to seek diplomatic means. David went through, and the way he killed and destroyed them, he became just as they were. Don't fight evil to the point of with evil till you become just as evil as those you're fighting. God has to teach you how to war. We're not warring against flesh and blood, but it's against spiritual powers. It's against principalities and high places. It's against wickedness. So it's not the individual, it's the spiritual principalities that we're warring against. The only way to learn that is through the word of God. So you have to study and be as the Bereans and know what God's word says to know how to fight. Your life has to be balanced. Well, let's look at the book of Acts. We see where the Apostle Paul, when he went to this place, and chapter 17, the 24th through the 28th verse, he's seeing that these people were superstitious and that they worshiped all type gods. They even had an altar to the unknown God. He says, whom you therefore unknowingly worship, him I proclaim to you. You don't know who this is. This unknown God is Jesus Christ. Let me preach the gospel to you. Let me tell you about this God that you worship that you don't know of. God who made the world and all things in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by hands, nor is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all men life and breath and all things. He has made from one blood every nation of men to live on the face of the earth. In other words, from Adam he has made all men. So we are all brothers. You came from one individual. So don't disparage that Hispanic. Don't disparage that African American or that Native American. Whatever that individual be, we all come from one blood. You say you're a Christian, you should believe that we all originated from Adam and Eve. That we all one blood. And it says, having appointed fixed times and boundaries of their habitations. In other words, it's God decided who was going to stay in Africa. It's God who decided who was going to stay in Japan, in China, in the United States, in South America, in Mexico, in Alaska, in Russia. God decided and fixed those boundaries and those habitations. And he fixed the times appointed. So there will be times when these places of things was going to change around. Ammon is no longer Ammon. Ammon is where Jordan is now. But it's the same people. But that name is no longer named over him. That's what I'm saying. He's breaking down names. Names cause division. There's no Jew or Gentile in the Lord. There's no male or female. We all the same in Christ Jesus. God had determined where we all would stay at. So if they're starting to migrate and everything, we shouldn't look at them as immigrants. We should look at them as brethren. And that God's causing the earth, that Abraham's seed, those that believe in God, was going to inherit the earth. So wherever God has you, you live for God right there. That's your possession. That's your inheritance. And you stand for God right there where you are. If you come to that knowledge, now you know who God's going to reveal who he is, and that you should stand and stand in faith. He says that they should seek the Lord, so perhaps they reach for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of his own poets have said, we are his offspring. We are all God's offspring. We all have our being in God. So that's what we need to find out. Find God. Judgment and all that is in God's hand. Don't we take vengeance upon people? Don't we be wrathful and judgmental of people? So the second point would be judgment. Would be the judge. Well, the third point would be judgment. Being ignorant is no excuse, but laziness a sloth. You remember the title of this was "Ignorance is no excuse," and I showed you Cain in that reading scripture when God says, where's your brother Abel? And he said, I don't know. Well, you should have known. You are your brother's keeper. Being ignorant or not knowing is not an excuse. You're lazy if you hadn't dug and found out. You cannot read the word of God. You can lay around and watch TV all day. You can go to work and earn money. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We should be studying the word of God, meditating it day and night. That should be our necessary food. That's what we should be hungering and thirsting after. So being ignorant is no excuse. Listen at Leviticus 4 and 2. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, say, if a soul sins through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, you should do this and make this repercussion. In other words, you still have repercussions or consequences for those sins. Being ignorant of the law is no excuse. When the legislature makes up laws during their legislative session, we need to go and read the paper and study what new laws they have. If you don't know what the law is and you're breaking that law, you're still guilty of breaking that law. You have to make restitution of the consequences for that law. Verse 13, that's to the people. This is to the congregation in verse 13 of Leviticus 4. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the things be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done, and are guilty. They're guilty. They have to make restoration. The priest could determine what they should do to restore this, whereas they did this ignorantly, but it's still sin. It's still wrong. There are laws against it. Even with our rulers. And I'm talking about, say, like this guy that's running for president. The people that's following him and listening at it. It says, verse 22 of the 4th chapter of Leviticus, when a ruler had sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God, concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty. This is the reparation he should make. Now, I didn't list those reparations because some of them were Old Testament restitutions or reparations, and there's a different way we should do it than the New Testament, but being ignorant of sins is no excuse. There's a payment, repayment of transgression. The book of Hebrews says, every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense or reward. We shouldn't go around ignorant of God. Ammon shouldn't went around ignorant of God and treated Israel any kind of way. And they had to pay through the wrath of God. We shouldn't go around sinning just because we don't go to church. That's your business that you didn't seek God, that you didn't find out about, but you're still guilty. God's going to deal with you one way or another. Now, you're going to receive punishment, but it might not be as much punishment as those that are in the church and knew to do better and didn't do it. But you still get punished. Deuteronomy 5th chapter, 15 through the 17th verse says, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks with thine estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he had done in the holy things and shall add a fifth part thereunto and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram trespass offering and shall be forgiven him. Now see, in this day and age, we don't go and offer a ram or a bullock. Like I said, those were Old Testament restitution. But the consequences from what you've done, God may send a man, he may send something wicked and allow this to happen to you. He go allow maybe for your health to fail. If you withholding your finances, and as a church, we know we preach tithes and offerings. Well, if you're not tithing to the church, you're not giving the correct offerings and tithes, God will make it so you can't get your bills paid. God will make it so you're not making ends meet. God will make it so your wife starts spending more than she should be spending. God's going to make it that way. Your washing machine break down, your car break down, you have this bill, you have that bill. And if it's something a bodily sin, he may cause ill health to come on you. He will cause depression, vexation, and anxiety to come on you. The consequences, he turns you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. In other words, because you're transgressing God, God chastens those that he received. And scourge it every son. In other words, just like with your children, that you have supposed to have punishment for when they transgress or what they do wrong, God does that to us for what we do wrong. That's why in the book of Hebrews it said, every transgression shall receive its just recompense of reward. You will have to give account for the deeds done in your body. So when he says, speak evil of no man, about gossiping and tailbearing, he's going to allow somebody to gossip and tailbear on you. He's going to allow these things to come upon you. Why? Because he had set in motion a law of sowing and reaping. Just as cruel and vengeful as the Ammonites was, David cut them up with saws. He took saws and cut the people up. He put some of them in ovens and fire kilns and things. Just like during the time of the Holocaust when they say Hitler was destroying these people or whatever. See, God allows certain things to come into our life. And in the rest of those verses out of Deuteronomy 17 and 18 says, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandment of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Though you didn't know it, you're still guilty, and you're going to bear that sin. You're going to bear that sin. So the third one we're going to need to look at is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of God shall be throughout the whole earth. That's what we're here for. That's what the church is here for. That's why we should study and we should witness to other people. We should study the Word of God consistently. Know the word of God. God says they shall know me. We should be lights to other people. The book of Acts and the book of Timothy talks a little about some of this knowledge. First, we'll go to 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, 12 through the 14th verse. And that's Paul. That's Paul. He acted through ignorance. You remember what Paul was doing? Paul was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. And he was doing it ignorantly. But then God opened up his eyes. But when God opened up his eyes, he told Paul to go show Paul, Annas, he said, go show Paul how much he's going to have to suffer in this life. See, that's why Paul was beat more than any other Christian was beat. That's why he was tortured. And in the end, they beheaded Paul. Because he was doing the same thing to Christians. That's sowing and reaping. Paul came to this conclusion in 1 Timothy, the first chapter. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, in my insolence I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Jesus Christ. So that if we could enlighten some of the Ammonites, if we could enlighten those these days into their ignorance and show them their wrong. See, God's going to come down and open up people's understanding whereby they can understand you've been transgressing against God. After he shows you this, you need to turn over a new leaf. You need to repent and turn from that, not still doing the same thing. That's why I say, that's why he's going to judge a lot. He had judged those that was in the church first because they knew their pastors and teachers and priests had won over them and told them what they should be doing for God. But they sit up in church and knew to do these things, but still would not do the things that they were supposed to do. What do you do a child that's in your home and is not listening at you? He won't listen at you. The Bible says in the Old Testament days that that child was to be stoned to death. He was rebellious and disobedient. The book of Acts, the 17th chapter, the 29th through the 32nd verse says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to suppose the deity is like gold or silver or stone or engraved work of art or an image of the reflection of man. God overlooked the times of our ignorance, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. For he had appointed a day on which he would judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, having given assurance of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed, but others said, we will hear you again concerning this matter. So at the times we ignorantly went about, God winked at it. God didn't take that to heart. God let that slide. But now he's commanding that all men, that's every nation of man, should repent and turn to God, to Jesus Christ, that one man that he raised from the dead. Repentance should be preached. The remission of sins only comes through repentance. We have to do these things through the knowledge of God. It's not about establishing who we are, but it's about establishing who God is. And he reveals that he's Jesus Christ through faith. That it is Christ that we serve and worship. That it is Christ, the head of all things. So it's not about establishing an African-American. It's not about establishing the Anglo-Saxon. It's not about establishing the Hispanics or the Japanese or the Chinese. Whatever nationality, creed, or religion, it's not about that. It's about God. This whole thing is about God. Romans 10, 1 through 3 says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel and that they may be saved. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. See, they need to learn of God. Israel today don't know of God. They know of Moses and the law of Moses, but they don't love Jesus.
They hadn't seen this. For God, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law unto righteousness for everyone who believes.
That's where the law ends at, with Christ. You're under grace and truth when you come to Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world, and we should become a light. We shouldn't go about establishing our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So, in concluding this thing, the application to include this, He's going to restore all things. He's looking, and that's what He's doing. Jeremiah even speaks of the restoration. All this is headed that God is reconciling man to Himself. The book of Acts, the third chapter, 13th through the 21st verse. That's a lot of reading, but that's what I'm going to have to close with, a good bit of reading here. Peter saw this opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this, and why stare at us as though we made this man walk by our own power of godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, who has brought glory to His servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release Him. You rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead, and we are witnesses to this through the faith in the name of Jesus. This man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. It was done in ignorance, not knowing. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that He must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. You did it in ignorance, but now that you know, you need to repent and turn to God so He can remove that sin. Then the times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and He will again send you Jesus, whom your appointed Messiah. For He must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago by His holy prophets. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among you from your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from his people. Now, this is your last chance, you Ammonites, Israelites, Philistines, Americans, African Americans, Native Americans, Spanish, whoever you are, listen to Christ Jesus, or you shall be cut off from your people. Now at the times of your ignorance, all your life God hadn't held this against you. But now it's the day of salvation. Now is the time to return, to repent, and turn back to God. Turn to God. In the book of Romans, the 11th chapter of Romans, the 25th verse, Paul states it as this, about this ignorance, which is no excuse. That's why we're here. We're here to learn the word of God and then bring those good tidings, the gospel, the good news. Here's the good news. You don't have to die in this condition. You don't have to die this way. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Don't listen to people about this is Jewish only. God has blinded His people. He destroyed His people to allow you to come in, that you be grafted in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, I shall take away their sins. And as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God is without repentance.
For as in time past you have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through unbelief. Even so I have also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God had concluded them all under unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So God concluded them under unbelief, so that he could have mercy on us. So now we should believe in God. We should walk into God. We should turn to God with our whole life. How should we be living? How should we be living? That we should love all men. That we should know about our brethren. That we are our brother's keeper. We should love our neighbors. We should be living in such a way that we are fully submitted to God. 1 Peter 2:13 through 17 says, submit yourselves to every human authority for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and to praise those who do right. For it is the will of God that by doing right you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There are a lot of ignorant and foolish men out there. But by submitting ourselves to God, we put to silence these ignorant men. We don't follow after this. God had sent us light that we don't perish. And he said his people were perishing because of the lack of knowledge. But now he's not willing that you should be ignorant of this. As free people, do not use your liberty as a covering for evil, but live as servants of God. Honor all people, not some people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We should all be children of the light. We should all be children of the light. Ephesians 4:17-32. The old life and the new life. There should be an old you and a new you, and there's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a struggle during this time. Ephesians 4:17-32. Therefore this I say and testify in the Lord, that from now on you walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, excluded from the life of God through the ignorance that is within them, due to the hardness of their hearts. If someone who wants to be ignorant and hate black people, hate Mexican people, hate white people, Chinese, hate Muslims, hate Protestants, or Catholics, whoever it is, through their ignorance, don't you walk that way. Don't you walk in that ignorance. It's ignorance is no excuse. Being callous, they have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn about Christ in this manner, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former way of life in the old nature, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might put on the new nature, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Peter, go close it for us. Peter, close it for us. He became a wise apostle. He was able to tell the people through tenderness and gentleness. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting at the 25th verse, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truthfully with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Don't lie to your neighbor. Don't lie to people. And we know who our neighbor is. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give place to the devil. Let him who steals, steal no more. Instead, let him labor. Let him work, working with his own hands, things which are good, that he may have something to share with him who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, that it may give grace to the listeners. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, outbursts, and blasphemy with all malice be taken away from you, and be kind one to another, Let's be a kinder and a gentler nation. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. That's how we should be. Let no man cause a division among you. Heavenly Father, as we study your word today, Lord God, as we look at the Ammonites, Lord God, and as you bring judgment upon them, Lord God, just as you brought judgment upon your people, and as you bring judgment upon the house of God, and as you bring judgment upon the world, let us be your people, Lord God, obedient unto you, Lord God, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called, Lord God, to seek your purpose and your the reason you created us, Lord God, to walk in the light as you is in the light, Lord God. Let us not be ignorant of these things, Lord God. Let us be as the Bereans, to go back and study your word to see that these things be. Lord God, help your children to study your word to show themselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. And help us to continue in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.